Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
If you've been with us at The Dispatch for a while, you'll recall that one of the first episodes Matt and I did together was examining evil and corrupt legislation that was being pushed into law in Canada. Well, you'll be pleased to know that after all this time, not much has changed. Corrupt legislators who are controlled by both lobbyists and globalist entities really do want to ruin our country. So on today's episode, we'll be looking at three pieces of legislation. Bill C-11, which is now law, an amendment to Bill C-21, and Bill C-47. And all of it is bad for freedoms and liberty in Canada. In a country with leaders and lawmakers who excel in being irresponsible, the only way forward for us is to be responsible citizens, responsible for our digital privacy, responsible for our protection, and responsible for our resources. The Bible calls that stewardship. It's May 2nd. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. That's Matt Halleck. And this is the Liberty Dispatch.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. We're so thankful that you have joined us yet again on the program, wherever you're getting our content from, whether it's YouTube at Liberty for Canada or over at our Rumble page, which is /Liberty Coalition Canada, rumble.com/Liberty Coalition Canada. We would just ask that you would like, subscribe, rate, review. If you're on YouTube, hit that notification bell so then you can stay up to date with what we've got coming out each and every week, because we're releasing multiple shows each and every week. We also release those shows on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. You've heard us talk about it many a times, flfnetwork.com. You're going to want to get on board with this network, because it's not only our shows here at Liberty Coalition Canada, but the many other wonderful shows that are on the network, which you can get on your phone on demand with the Fight Laugh Feast Network app. So that's very handy. We would recommend you go over there and do that. Get that app. It'll make your life easier, and it's just a great experience. Also, all our content, everything that we do at the Liberty Coalition Canada is at libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's libertycoalitioncanada.com. We recommend you go over there, sign up for our email list at the bottom of the page. And if you would, while you're over there, please prayerfully consider leaving a donation so we can continue to build our institution. We can continue to build this independent media platform. We can do legal advocacy. We can stand up for your rights. We can do all that we do here at the LCC. So if you want to donate, libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. You can scan that helpful QR code at the bottom of the page right there. Please consider doing that, because as we'll get into today, independent, high-quality media that you love, that isn't state-funded, that isn't sanctioned by Trudeau and his regime of censorship, it is under attack in Canada. And if we're going to fight for our own freedoms, if we're going to push back against government tyranny, we need to be able to put our money where our mouths are. So we would encourage you to think about donating to us today. Andrew, Mailbag question for the day. Mailbag at libertycoalitioncanada.com. Reach out to us there. What do you got for us?
So the mailbag question isn't so much thematically tied as it is something I've been thinking about lately, which is what kind of stories, what things do you want us to be covering and focusing on? So I'll give an example. Someone sent a link to a video from Rumble from an American. He might be a state or federal legislator talking about the response to Bill C-11 and how he's calling on Canadians to mail an anonymous SOS letter to his office, and then he's going to show up at the legislature with piles and piles of letters, and he's basically going to say, look, here are hundreds of thousands of Canadians that are saying, well, Bill C-11, tyranny, and I mean, I don't know, they'll invade us and free us, I guess, maybe is the goal. That's what will happen. So just curious to know what particular stories, what important bits of information matter to you that you think we should be covering this, we should be focusing on this. And as always, you can send any comments or questions, mm-hmm. any way that we can help you, mailbag at libertycoalitioncanada.com. Lord willing, we hope to do another mailbag episode this Thursday. Mm-hmm. We've had some pretty good questions. I'll just kind of tip the hand just a little bit. Someone was asking about chemtrails. We're going to talk about that. And someone asked
I'll question, let you deal with that one.
Yeah. How much longer do you think really before Jesus returns and we all get raptured? So we're gonna deal with some of these questions. It'll be good. I appreciate audience members sending this stuff in. So again, mailbag at libertycoalitioncanada.com. Absolutely. In the past few weeks, we've seen several U.S. banks wiped out and several more put on life support. And this actually has something to do with one of the stories we're going to be covering in today's episode. Silicon Valley Bank was the largest bank crash since the great financial crisis of 2008. Now is the time to minimize your exposure to the big woke banks and look for some alternatives. When it comes to your investment accounts, give our friends at Rocklink a call. Hopefully they're your friends too. And if they're not, they definitely will be very soon. They are a 100% Christian, Canadian-owned firm, and they're dedicated to helping people like you align your financial goals with your faith. You don't have to check your faith at the door when you work with the investment professionals at Rocklink. Get some of your money out of the banks and put your family's financial plan on the right track. Email Rocklink at info@rocklink.com or visit them at www.rocklink.com, and that is link with a C. Now, before we get into the main bits of our episode looking at some pieces of legislation, we wanted to bring you a quick bit of an update that we have, which is still not a full update because the conclusion of the story isn't done yet. But Matt, do you want to bring us up to speed with what's happening with the PSAC strike in Canada?
Yeah, so we covered this on our last program, which we'll link in the description below if you want to kind of get the whole story there as it stood when we were covering it last Thursday. We kind of do more in-depth commentary. We don't have time to do that today, but I did want to update people on the situation as it stands, because obviously this is the biggest strike in Canadian history, so it's really important that we understand what's going on. So on Monday morning, May the 1st, news broke that the federal government and PSAC has reached a tentative agreement for the 120,000 PSAC workers outside of the CRA to return back to the work. So the deal includes a $2,500 pensionable signing bonus for the PSAC members, which amounts to roughly a 5% raise for the average worker. And it also includes a roughly 12% pay increase over 4 years, the next 4 years. So this new deal will cost taxpayers almost $1.5 billion year over year for the length of the term. And while no agreement was made concerning the union's demands for telework, both sides had agreed to draft a framework for further discussion. So the tentative deal still awaits ratification by the members of the union. And It also, as I made mention it briefly, it does not apply to the CRA members of the PSAC because they had their own bargaining group and they have not yet reached a deal with the feds to end their strike. So they are still on strike even as we move past the deadline for personal taxes to be in Canada. Andrew, just a quick note, though, and this is really interesting to me, and this will highlight how unjust this whole scenario is. Before moving on, interesting side note. 155,000 or some workers are under the PSAC, PSAC umbrella. It's important to note that only 42,420 of those members actually voted as it pertains to the strike. So less than one third of those members actually voted on what we just saw take place, the biggest work strike that lasted 2 weeks. And it was only 80% of those workers, some 34,000 members, who actually voted to go on strike. So essentially in this whole situation, Andrew, we see the Canadian public, the actual taxpayers, as well as the other two-thirds of the workers under the PSAC umbrella, they were being held hostage by a mere 34,000 members of the union. And that really highlights that how unjust this legislation is, because the current wicked rules of the road requires only 50% plus one of voting. So it's not the entire membership, right? They didn't have to get some plus 75,000 or whatever to vote to actually go on strike. It's only of the voting membership that they needed a majority to initiate this strike. And thus, the Canadian public's held hostage and many other co-workers of those PSAC union laborers were held hostage by a mere 34,000 workers. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and the update fits well with the overall episode, because if we're talking about being responsible and stewarding, what we've basically seen is that our federal government's irresponsibility, the mismanagement of resources, the overinflated, bloated bureaucracies, the inefficiency leads them to make poor decisions. In this case, a decision that's going to cost taxpayers over $1 billion
each year.
Because when you're not responsible and you don't steward well what the Lord has given you, you make bad decisions that hurt people, and then you need to make more bad decisions to cover your boo-boos so that it doesn't get worse. And so we're going to call on people as we go through these stories to say, don't be like our federal government. Don't be like our provincial governments. You've been given things, your wealth, your family, your health, your privacy, your property. You are responsible to steward it and steward it well. Don't be greedy. Don't be foolish. Don't be lazy. Don't be irresponsible. Take what you have, steward it well, be responsible with it. You'll be better in the long run for it. And with that, we have to jump into our first story while we're speaking of radically unjust and rife with corrupt potential legislation. And that is Bill C-11. So on April 27th, Bill C-11, the Online Streaming Act, received royal assent, which means it is law in Canada. Now, this comes right from the text of the bill, so you know we're not just grasping at straws and trying to sensationalize the story. This is right from the bill, which we've linked in the description. Each Canadian broadcasting undertaking shall employ and make maximum use, and in no case less than predominant use, of Canadian creative and other human resources in the creation, production, and presentation of programming, unless the nature of the service provided by the undertaking, such as specialized content or format, or the use of languages other than French and English, renders that use impracticable. impracticable. I've never heard that word before, but of course you would find a bunch of gibberish that most people can't define inside of overbloated legislation. Continues, in which case the undertaking shall make the greatest practicable use of their resources. Each foreign online undertaking shall make the greatest practicable use of Canadian creative and other human resources, and shall contribute in an equitable manner, there's that Marxism, to strongly support the creation, production, and presentation of Canadian programming, taking into account the linguistic duality of the market they serve. So let's cut through the euphemism. What this bill is purporting to do is it is forcing broadcasting corporations, or in this case, because it's online, platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, these platforms, these streaming services, it is saying that they are required to elevate Canadian content for Canadians, made by, made for, made in Canada content, as they deem. And this is what's curious about the bill. It says the CRTC defines Canadian content. So if something is made in Canada that elevates some good stuff that's happening in the United States that cuts against the woke left agenda, that's not Canadian enough. And so it's the elevation of Canadian content being forced upon broadcasters, platforms. This comes right from the post-millennial. Bill C-11 is aimed at forcing popular social media platforms and streaming services to abide by Canadian content regulations similar to those imposed on traditional broadcasters. Platforms like Netflix, Crave, Spotify, Amazon Prime Video, Disney Plus, and YouTube will be required to spend millions of dollars investing in Canadian content and creators. Attempts to have the Senate stand its ground on certain amendments were unsuccessful, but the passed motion was amended to note the Liberals' quote, public assurance that Bill C-11, quote, will not apply to user-generated digital content. In other words, the Liberal government said, okay, we'll pinky swear, we're not going to become tyrants. And the Senate said, that's good enough for us, and it was passed. The post-millennial continues, the Trudeau government asserted that existing safeguards in the bill were sufficient and rejected amendments to instill further protections for individual content creators on the basis that it would impact the government's ability to, quote, publicly consult on and issue a policy direction to the CRTC to appropriately scope the regulation of social media services. In other words, they dropped the amendment because they said it's going to impact our ability to control. And that's what that sentence is. It'll hinder our ability to control the way we want to control. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be held accountable. So please, we're not going to include these safeguards. But they promised, they crossed their heart and they hope to die that they're not going to be tyrants. And the Senate said, that's good enough for us. And
yeah.
So here we are.
Andrew, it's often said in Canadian politics that the Senate is the house of sober second thought. And these days it sounds like it's the house of no thought at all. And no pushback, spineless, useless individuals that pay.
We'll do the opposite.
$500,000 a year.
Instead of sober second thought, we'll call it drunken thoughtlessness. The house of drunken thoughtlessness.
Yeah, and that's the way it seems to be going. And the fact of the matter is, this Trudeau regime tips again their hand, and they show that it is truly a regime that's not about upholding free speech. It's about regulating and controlling and censoring content.
Absolutely.
And that's what we see over and over again. The movements only go in one way. The ratchet only turns one way, and it's to more censorship, to more opaque,
we can't
shadowy
be hearing
bureaucrats.
So much of this fringe minority unacceptable view. We don't need more of that in Canada. That's un-Canadian.
And
we need the view that aligns with the narrative. That's the view as we define Canadian content.
And I'll link in the description below some of the episodes that we've done on Bill C-11, because we go more in depth on just the danger of what this actually poses, the potential danger. But we wanted to talk about the fact that this potential bill is now working its way through the House, and it's just awaiting royal assent to go live and to become fully ingrained into our legal situation, creating regulatory capture of online content for Canadians. But I want to continue on here. Our friends over at the True North had this to say about the passing of Bill C-11. Bill C-11, quote, which updates Canada's Broadcasting Act, will subject digital content creators to regulation by the CRTC. Senators voted 52-16. There you go. 52-16 in support of the bill becoming law. Critics of the bill have argued that Bill C-11 will allow the government to interfere with the algorithms of content that Canadians are able to consume online. The government claims that the bill will not apply to individuals who post on social media. Quote, today we are standing up for our stories, our artists, our producers, our creators. We're standing up so that Canadians have even more opportunities to see themselves in what they watch and listen to, Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez said Thursday in a statement. Quote, all the Senate did was take the government up on its claim and to test the commitment, but when put to the test, the government failed. It effectively declared that it would continue to reserve the right to permit the CRTC to regulate ungenerated content if required, said Senator Don Plett in objection to the passing of Bill C-11. This is, like I said, only further proving that you have a censorious, wicked regime who is actively fighting against Canadians' rights and freedoms of speech, which is one of the most basic rights, because freedom of speech includes the freedom of thought. What's happening here is the government is now inserting a gigantic bureaucracy in between you and the content that you're able to see on various platforms. And it has significant ramifications for Canadians being able to freely access information with, and it certainly puts a huge cloud on, even if we can access information, how is that information being curated? Is it being honest? Is this the breadth of the story? Is this the depth of the information that I can actually access? Or is the government, invisible hand of the government bureaucracy, the CRTC, manipulating content that we can see in a fifth generation warfare type scenario where it's just a war on information? That's the potential danger of this bill. And our government actively went out of its way to make sure that safeguards were not written in the bill. And they give us a little pinky swear across the heart, as you said, in passing this bill, which actually gives them leeway to do the very things that they did not want in the bill, Andrew.
Now, one potential answer or solution could simply be having a VPN installed on your device and then have your VPN set to another country. So whenever you're on these platforms, it makes it look like you're in the United States. So, for example, people have been doing this for years with Netflix. Anyone who at this point doesn't support a destructive woke agenda shouldn't be paying money for Netflix. So you might hear that and say, wow, you're being judgmental. Well, you shouldn't be spending money on Netflix. But before Netflix went super de-duper woke, people in Canada would recognize that Netflix in the States had way more content. So what they would do is they would pay for a VPN, spoof their location to look like they're in the United States, and then voila, you have all this American content. This is, by the way, is what I do whenever I go to American news sites like CBS, or NBC and you want to watch video clips of press releases and they'll say, sorry, it's not available in your region. I just switch my VPN over to the States and now I can see it. So a lot of people are thinking this might be a simple solution. And it's true, at least right now, it is that kind of a solution. I mean, they have to have been thinking about this, though. I'm sure that there's going to be some sort of shady way to get around it, because a VPN is not a lot of money. And the reality is you could even get free VPNs that don't provide you with any security, but at the very least spoof your location. So if you can do it for free, they have to be thinking some sort of workaround for the VPN. But at least right now, it seems like a
VPN. Even
the
fact that you have to do that is absurd, right?
Like, and a lot of people won't be bothered. They'll say it's too much of an inconvenience, and they know that the convenience thing weighs heavy. So this, you know, we're in the days ahead, we're going to be talking a lot more about this, and we're going to be addressing the concerns with regard to not just Bill C-11, but what it means for us. And so this is what it looks like long term. There's a good chance that if you're in Canada, and again, I don't know what the VPN situation is going to look like, but let's just assume they're going to have that covered. There's a good chance that going forward in Canada, you are not going to be able to get our content on YouTube, on Rumble, on other social media platforms where we share stuff. You're not going to be able to find us, which means the only way to find us will be coming directly to our website. And how we deal with our episodes and our videos, where we embed them, where we put them, we're going to have to figure that out. And we're in the process of figuring that out. But suffice it to say, if you want our content, you're going to have to come directly to our website. We're going to have to think about developing a robust app as well to cover all of this. So to get our stuff, you're not going to be able to go to the regular, accessible, free places to get the videos. So this is one of the reasons why that we are saying, please seriously consider supporting the work we do here, right? At Liberty Coalition Canada with Christian Week, which is our media analysis arm, we are a not-for-profit. We are a registered charity. So we don't have investors. We're not, quote-unquote, selling a product in the same way that LLCs will sell products. And you can have investors. You can have value on the stock market. We exist entirely based on the support and donations of you, our audience, and our sponsors and advertisers as well, which means we really need your help. If you appreciate what we do here, whether it's the legal work, the advocacy work in the political sphere, if you appreciate our shows, our news, and our analysis, our bringing you the only Christian conservative news media analysis in the country, this is us. This is who we are. The only ones who will bring this to you. And you want to continue to access not only our content, but find it so that we will not be so easily canceled. So we just can't be scrubbed from the internet. Then please, please help support our work. Head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. Click on the analysis shows tab, or you can make sure you send a check or e-transfer and make it payable to Christian Week, have the note Christian Week. We really do need your help to be able to continue, because in the days ahead, it's going to become increasingly difficult to expose what we're doing, right? To expose what's happening in Canada, to increase our audience, to get the information out there as these laws start tamping down on what content will and won't be pushed in these online platforms.
Yeah,
so
we really need
your help to build a strong, uncancelable website, app, network so that we can keep bringing you this content so you can always find it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, where are you going to go? I mean, Legacy Media is going to lie to you. And again, I'm thankful for our friends over at True North and Bright Light News and Rebel News. They've been doing a great job the last number of years. But what they're not going to do is they're not going to bring you information from a Christian perspective with a biblical foundation and world of life view to understand these things. And they're certainly not going to offer you solutions, and they're not going to offer you, here's how you should respond and what you should do from a biblical perspective. So
they don't have that normative perspective that we can offer you. And I think in many cases, it just kind of sounds like we're just complaining, we're being cranks, we're just being knee-jerk reactionaries if we don't actually apply worldview apologetics to the situations, the news and analysis that we do. And I think that's why we do offer a unique service in the landscape. And also, we don't use, we don't play the game of using silly pronouns. We cut through the euphemisms. As much as we like our friends at True North, they play that game, right? Because they want to seem legitimate. We want to tell the truth and tell it boldly. So
yeah, yes, we will misgender and dead name all day long.
Yes.
With a smile on my face all day long, because Jesus was clear that I've come to testify to the truth, and those who are of the truth hear my voice and know me, and his people, we're people of the truth.
Yeah.
We're people who pursue truth, who live according to truth, who proclaim truth in all truth, of its the glorious, truth, uncomfortable fashion.
The truth will set you free. If we're truly the Liberty Coalition Network and we care about being a part of the freedom movement, then we need to be speaking the truth. And that's where I think we offer a unique perspective. So not only donate to us, but we would actually encourage you, if you have yet to do it or if you're not on it anymore, please go over to our website, check out the bottom of the page, sign up for the email list so you can just stay up to date with everything we got going on, because we do have some big stuff in the works and you're not going to want to miss
it. You might be hearing all of this and thinking, oh, another money grab. I'm like, listen, this is not just, like, we're not being hyperbolic here.
No.
A law has just passed in our country that the CRTC has been given the authority to regulate content depending on how Canadian it is or isn't.
Yeah.
That's where we are right now. And so Bill, we're not being extremists.
C18
is going to require these platforms to pay a premium for any news article shared on their website. Like, this is all, so what we are telling you is we want to continue, like, there is legitimate fight for our existence in this sphere, in this area, to be able to bring you the news analysis and the information. And so we really, really do need your help to be able to do that, so you can find it here. And so any questions about any of that as well, again, please reach out to us, mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. You might be thinking, I want to know more, and, you know, what's all this mean, and, you know, what are you thinking? Or we'll say this as well. If you're a business owner, you're a like-minded business owner, entrepreneur, and you're thinking, you know, not only do I want to support the work that you do, but I want to maybe avail myself of some advertising, right? You want to advertise with us? I can say unequivocally, our advertisers have done very, very well because of this ecosystem, this freedom ecosystem in which we all kind of live. They have done very well through our being able to push people their way. And so if you want to advertise with us and you want to not only get a solid return on your investment, you want to grow your employee base, or you want to grow your actual business, and you want to support us in the process so we can keep growing what we're doing here, let us know. mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. Let's have those discussions.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we want to help. We want to help your business grow, which we have done for our sponsors, as you help us grow as well. So let's move on. Speaking of that, we need to talk about our friends over at Bull Bitcoin. Our federal government's response to economic difficulties has been to print money until it's worthless, driving up the cost of everything, essentially stealing from your hard-earned pay. They also want to monitor your spending by way of a central digital currency, and they want to control you by way of digital ID. So what you need to do is take control of your own resources and be responsible for your own money. Bull Bitcoin wants to help you do just that. Bull Bitcoin is a 100% self-funded, freedom-minded Canadian Bitcoin exchange that wants to protect your financial freedom and help you protect your resources. If you're at all aware of what's going on in our country, you should reach out to our friends at Bull Bitcoin and have all your questions answered from their incredible support team. Sign up at mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. That's mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. Our second story is not a new piece of legislation, nor is it a legislation that's come into law, but it's an amendment made to a piece of legislation that the Liberals are hoping comes into law. And this is Bill C-21, the firearms ban bill. If you recall, not too long ago, there were several amendments in the bill that were deeply concerning that were removed, and we celebrated. One of the amendments would ban any center fire rifle with a magazine capacity of five or more, as well as several shotguns. And someone that you, our audience, you know and love very dearly, happens to possess a number of weapons that fall into that category, and they were quite concerned about what that might mean. I'm not going to tell you exactly who. You might know who the person is, wink, wink. Anyways, so Public Safety Minister Marco Mendicino, right, or public, maybe safety minister is not. We got to think of a good term to cut through his euphemistic title. So, you know, public, we don't want you to defend yourself from tyrants, Minister Marco Mendicino. He is back, and he's excited because he's ready to come for your guns now more than ever. So let's hear directly from him with some brand new, bright and shiny amendments to Bill C-21.
I'm proud to announce a package of reforms that will strengthen both Bill C-21 and Canada's ban on AR-15 assault-style firearms. It includes amendments to the bill that will be brought forward by Liberal members, and it will also include upcoming changes that will strengthen our gun control laws. These reforms are about keeping AR-15 assault-style firearms off of our streets, while at the same time respecting gun owners. Significantly, the amendments will include a standard technical definition which contain the physical characteristics of an assault-style firearm. This definition, which would apply going forward, would be inserted into the criminal code. It provides the clarity that gun owners and industry leaders need, and the protection that advocates have long called for.
So whatever definition they offer of AR-15 assault-style firearms, I can assure you it's going to be about as clear and precise as a toddler trying to explain Einstein's theory of relativity while eating pureed carrots. Now, how do I know that? How can I say that? Simply saying AR-15 assault-style weapons is the liberal version of baby gibberish. It's just buzzwords that don't mean anything. It's a nonsensical statement.
Said what by people who don't after, know anything.
They don't know anything. What they're after is semi-automatic rifles and carbines, but they use the scary language to confuse people. So I want to show you a picture that I uncovered to make my point. And this picture here has two firearms, and one is the scary AR-15, and the other one is just the Ruger Mini 14. Now, if you're not watching this, you can't see some of the words there. I'll spell it out for you in technical terms. Both the AR-15 and the Ruger Mini 14 fire 5.56 NATO rounds. It's the exact same caliber of weapon. The Ruger Mini 14 has a barrel that's a little bit longer than the AR-15 barrel is. And the Ruger Mini 14 can come with an extended magazine that holds up to 20 rounds. So what we're dealing with here are two weapons, one that's mostly black and polymer, so it's a scary military-style weapon, which again is nonsense. And then the bottom looks like a regular old kind of hunting rifle with the wooden stock and the wooden lower to the weapon. But they fire the same caliber of ammunition with the same size magazines, potentially the same velocity, same rate of fire. You pull once, one bullet comes out. So the one looks different than the other, and they would never say that the Ruger Mini 14 is an AR-15 assault style weapon, but both of these weapons do the exact same kind of damage at the exact same rate with the exact same bullet. Everything that our public safety minister has said and all of these amendments, this reform package that they're bringing, is nonsense. They don't know what they're talking about. They just want to come for the legally owned weapons of responsible gun-owning Canadians. That's all they're after. And they're using scary language to confuse you, but it's stupid. It is so stupid what they're saying. It is nonsensical.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked plenty of times on the program before how liberals seem to think, like, if a gun's in the room, someone's going to die. just by its mere presence that these inanimate objects are somehow killing people without someone using them. You know, it's a tool. And apparently this tends to be a ban on scary looking weapons more than it is a ban on any specific caliber of weapon like you're talking about.
And if you're not watching the episode, I would encourage you, like, if you're just listening to it, if you remember this, go search, don't use Google. If you use Google, what's wrong with you? Like, use other browsers, use other search engines, but go search AR-15 and then go search a picture of a Ruger Mini 14 and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you'll see that these weapons identical in every way other than the way they look. And maybe technically they're a little bit different, but yeah, you'll see for yourself.
Anyways, this is from the True North. Mendocino also said the federal government would crack down on ghost guns, firearms produced without a serial number. Quote, these amendments will make it a criminal offense to make any legal or illegal ghost gun, either by buying firearm parts or by using 3D technology. The Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights said Mendocino and the Liberals are continuing to make law-abiding gun owners a priority in their attempt to slow violence in Canada. Quote, as we've said all along, this is about polarization and votes. If the Liberals truly cared about public safety, they'd repeal their 2019 Bill C-75, said the spokesperson Tracy Wilson. Law, quote unquote, law enforcement across the country has asked for this. Instead, we get gun bans and more misinformation. Wilson also said the federal government would deal with Canada's pressing issues like the opioid crisis, an explosion in gang violence, bail reform, and a marked decline in mental health if their concern was truly genuine and about safety. These are the determinants of violence with or without firearms, but they have prioritized gun bans above all else, the measure with the least potential to yield actual results, which then would make somebody think, well, maybe it's not so much about keeping people safe. It's more about the actual banning of the guns. Anyways, the reality is our federal government has made it clear that they are not concerned with actual safety and the well-being of Canadians. They're actually concerned about making sure Canadians cannot defend themselves. And in real ways, they are actually about mandating and forcing Canadians to do things that are against their best interests, the health and the well-being of their family, like getting an experimental gene therapy, like forcing you to wear masks, like locking your family indoors. And what they really seem to want, Andrew, is a weak, defenseless, compliant population, which is obviously much easier to manipulate and to control, especially considering what we see from the Trudeau regime is more censorship, more coercion, more control, and less freedom at every single turn. And that's the reality of the country that we now occupy as Canadian citizens.
Yeah, and this goes back to the original idea behind the episode. You got to be responsible with what you have. This is why in the last 3 years we saw an intentional effort to crush the small business owner.
Yeah.
Why you couldn't go into a local hardware store, but you could go into Canadian Tire or Walmart. Mm-hmm. Why crush the small business owner? Because the small business owner, the person who's entrepreneurially minded, is a person who believes in working hard, taking responsibility for themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is a person that is not so easily manipulated, controlled, who's not going to be pro being on the government handout. They're not going to be on the take. They're going to say, no, I don't need your welfare. I don't need your CERB. I can work hard. I can take care of myself. I'm responsible. And so our state wants to crush that kind of person because what they really want is they want a bunch of people who don't work hard, who don't take initiative, who are not pursuing, who are not starting businesses, to be at home, taking the universal basic income, continuing to vote in the people who just give them everything they want. This is about preservation of power and securing a voter base. That's what they're doing here. So you need to be responsible.
And that's a great point, Andrew, because the totalitarianism of this next fifth generation warfare is going to be a soft totalitarianism. And what they're going to do is they're going to manipulate you through coercion, through going after comforts. They're going to soften you with less coercive means, but nevertheless still coercive means. And it's just the same way that they did it with the vaccines. That was them tipping their hands of what the totalitarianism of the future is going to look like. It's going to be if you don't get the experimental jab, we're not going to force it on you. We're going to hold it down, jab it in your arm. But if you don't get it, you can't go to the movies, you can't, we're not going to force you to do digital banking, but if you don't do digital banking, you can't easily bank with any of the big five banks. You can't do X, Y, and Z, all these sorts of things. So essentially, by not opting into their surveillance, their control, these platforms and these mechanisms that they're going to use to control you, you are opting for a much less comfortable, much more difficult life, because you're going to be opted out of a lot of these new technologies and these new platforms that make your life easier. And that's how they'll use soft totalitarianism to force your hand and force your compliance. And that's what we're seeing. So if the play is, as Andrew says, is what we're talking about, that they want to weaken you, soften you, demoralize you, and then make you reliant upon them.
And make you totally dependent. Yep.
What is the play? It's to be the exact opposite of that. If that's their play, you need to be the type of person that is the exact opposite, that is willing at the drop of a hat to let goods and kindred go. Yep. That
means you educate your own. You educate your own children. You don't rely on state-funded schools.
Yeah.
That means you need to be starting businesses. Mm-hmm. Christians need to be thinking about starting businesses, about producing for themselves, about self-sustaining. They need to do everything in their power not to rely on any of the money that comes from the government.
Yes.
It means you need to probably discipline your finances so that you have your own personal family insurance, so you don't have to rely on workplaces or other people. You have to be responsible. And we've done episodes before where we've gone through the history of states that ban and confiscate firearms and see what they do. We've understood that in the United States, the most violent cities are leftist run gun free zones that have the strictest gun legislation. That is almost without exception in the United States. And even recently, everything we know about this evil, sick, drug induced woman who shot up the Christian school in Nashville, what do we know? It was revealed that the reason why she went to that school and not another school first is because that other school had security present. We know that being able to defend yourselves with all of the means available in a responsible manner is a deterrent for violence, is a deterrent for you being the victim of violence and evil. And our federal government knows that. They don't want you to be strong and responsible. They want you to be weak and dependent. And you need to push back against that every way you can. And one of the ways that you can push back against that is being excellent as a business owner, as an employer, and also being intentional as an employee. Now, you might think that woke politics and medical tyranny have destroyed the Canadian workplace, but did you know that many companies are standing up and saying no? Thousands of companies have pledged to honor free speech and medical privacy at Red Balloon, and Red Balloon is here in Canada. Business owners, you can find top-tier values-aligned talent and get help building an uncancelable pro-freedom workplace. Job seekers, find courageous companies that share and protect your values. Go sign up today at redballoon.org/LCC. Again, that's redballoon.org/LCC. Our last little bit of legislation, this is hot off the press. This really is just a day or so ago that this kind of came across my, I guess the technical term is across my desk, but it didn't come across my desk. It came across my phone. I just want to sound newsy. So this little bit of evil legislation has to do with banks and our money. So we got to set this up, right? We need to understand what's actually going on here in context. We got to get the lay of the land. Our federal government has printed out money and made our hard-earned wealth worthless because of it. Number one. Number two, they're working toward a central bank digital currency and digital IDs, which will increase their ability to control, monitor, and share our personal financial information. That's number two. Number three, bank accounts were frozen during the convoy. And number four, any alternatives to fiat currency are mocked by our elites, and they want to control them all the more. Now, when you put all of that together, what do you get? A complete distrust in our banking and financial institutions, which is reasonable to be distrusting and weary of actually having them take care of your money and your resources. We covered not that long ago TD rolling out its digital banking agreement. But what we didn't get into that much detail about was that TD has seen myriads of people pull the money out of their accounts. TD has suffered a pretty significant loss. Their stock value is as low as it's almost ever been. I mean, their stock value has plummeted. Money, millions, tens of millions of dollars pulled out of TD bank accounts. And right now, TD is the most shorted bank on the stock market in the world, which means people are betting on its failure, and rightfully so, to distrust these banking institutions. Mm-hmm. Now, the answer from our federal government, as always, is to do what? Massive bills, more bureaucracy, more spending, and more protection, not for the hardworking Canadian, no, but for their friends and the elites.
Yes, and that's where we get into the bill in question. Enter Bill C-47, a 430-page omnibus budget bill, which amends the Canada Deposit Insurance Corporation Act, allowing the cabinet to guarantee deposits in case of a bank run to, get this, quote, this is from the bill, the amount that the Minister of Finance determines. There you go. It used to be $100,000, an objective nominal amount, and now it is the amount that the Minister of Finance determines if it is deemed necessary to promote the stability or maintain the efficiency of the financial system in Canada. Federal insurance currently, as I made mention, covers a $100,000 limit, not anymore under this bill. The thinking, quote unquote, is that given the current situation and the banking turmoil we saw in the U.S. and Switzerland, it was a prudent thing to do, testified Rachel Gresham, senior director with the Department of Finance. The bill follows the March 10 collapse of Silicon Valley Bank of Santa Clara, California, the failure of Signature Bank of New York on March 12th, and the March 18 purchase of the faltering Credit Suisse Bank in Switzerland by rival UBS Group AG. In other words, the federal government can act like a tyrant and severely damage our economy and then bail out banks after they are irresponsible. So responsible Canadians must decide to take control of their own finances, their own wealth, and they need to actually bank with responsible banks and not one of these banks that is going to be totally irresponsible and leave themselves open to, bank runs, all these sorts of things. And the fact is, if we the fascistic state that we now currently reside in decides to bail out banks that are irresponsible, they're failing, they're not properly using your funds, protecting them from their own the consequences of their foolish decisions, and all of this will ultimately come on the back of Canadians, right? The feds aren't the ones that are actually bailing them out. It's Canadian citizens who are going to be bailing out TD. It's a perverse moral equation that is being set up, but over and over and over and over again, we're told that central bank regimes, that the monopolistic power of the state to control the money, this creates the most secure and prosperous economy that could possibly be imagined. But what we're seeing is the way that they're manipulating currencies, the way that they're running the economy, the amount of intervention of the government into the economy, you know, no more articulated than their monopolistic control on the medium of exchange in that economy. All of these things are leading to ridiculous destruction of market forces and economic wealth and prosperity. And the fact of the matter is, we're setting ourselves up for a gigantic fall. And this is on the back of government control of all of this stuff. So when will we say enough is enough? You've had your go. You've controlled things in this way for far too long. You've steered the ship into the iceberg. We're going down. We now have to bail, and we're not going to let you drive the ship anymore. That's ultimately what we have to do. And we ultimately have to have the government get out of doing the economy, because they manipulate the numbers. They have their hands in everything. They grease the wheels. They ruin everything that they touch. And at the end of the day, the responsibility falls on us as taxpayers. And that's why this bill is so, I mean, it doesn't, like, this is something that we're seeing more and more, Andrew. The vagueness of laws, right? That is, vague laws are unjust because they don't actually stipulate, it just leaves things too broad for legislators and bureaucrats to just make things up as they see fit. It gives too much deference to bureaucrats and government officials because, I mean, there's no real objective measurement or standard being laid out in this bill. It literally says we're going to guarantee deposits to the amount that the Minister of Finance determines. I mean, that's not a standard.
It doesn't seem very responsible to me. It sounds like a blank. There's like, here's a blank check. We'll just bail you out.
And exactly.
So here you have these banking institutions. Again, we have to set up the context.
Yeah.
Here they are freezing your bank accounts, telling you we want to go cashless. We want to have central bank digital currency. We want to have you sign our digital banking agreement. Otherwise, you can't bank with us. And so what the Canadians say, fine, I'm pulling my money out. And the banks go, oh, this is a problem. And the government says, don't worry, we got you. We'll bail you out. This is evil and irresponsible. I was watching a video just yesterday of a man who went into a bank and he had his phone with him. And he went in and he said, I would like to withdraw money from my account. Mm-hmm. And they said, how much? And he's like, well, you'll verify it's all legit. I want to take out $100,000. because I need it for a purchase. It needs to be in cash. And the bank said, sure, no problem. Come back on Tuesday. We'll have a few. This was on a Wednesday, I think, a Wednesday or a Thursday. Hmm. And he said, come back on Tuesday. I've given you my money to store it. I want my money. And they're like, oh, we don't have that here. We need to get it in from other institutions. And he said, no,
you don't banking.
You don't understand. I want my money now or I'm leaving. I'm closing my bank account. And so, excuse me, what we're seeing is Canadians thinking like that, saying, oh, I got to get my money out of here. And the banks just can't do it. So this is all a
good because they don't have the money, right? Because they borrowed that money.
This is all a good sign. You need to get out of the big five. So, I mean, I was in Hamilton a couple weekends ago and people were coming up to me, you know, who watched the show. I was visiting a church who were friends of the shows and who were asking questions about, you know, what do you recommend and what do I do? And so, again, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a chartered accountant. I'm none of those things. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is, and by way of application to draw this episode to a close, I want to emphasize again, you need to be responsible for what you have and you need to steward it well.
Yeah.
If you have a body, a home, property, and a family, and any combination of these things, it's your job to protect them.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. And you cannot let threats or grabs from the federal government dissuade you. You do what you need to do to protect your family. That's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. You do what you need to do to manage your wealth and your resources and steward them. That's your responsibility. So I would, right off the top, be responsible with what you have, with what the Lord has given you. So how can you do that practically? Well, just a couple of very simple things. Number one, get out of the big five. What are you still doing banking with TD? Are you crazy? Like, just get out. Look at local credit unions. They're not airtight. It doesn't mean that they also won't find themselves under the umbrella, but it's a better option for now. And if the car is going over the cliff anyways, better to have the car go over at 50 instead of 100 to give you the time to figure out how to get out of that car before it goes over the cliff. So think about credit unions. You need to think about diversifying your wealth. Think about Bitcoin. Think about precious metals, right? Like, think about having some physical cash on hand as well. Just think about diversifying. You need to call our friends at Rockling Investment Partners. I'm telling people this over and over again. You want responsible, God-honoring Christians to be handling your money. They're not investing it with woke nonsense. They're not out there to rob you and to take advantage of you. So if you have an RRSP, an RESP, you have a tax-free savings account, you have investments, you want to be able to move some of those investments offshore to keep them safe, please reach out to our friends at Rocklink. They're going to help you. Please contact our friends at Bull Bitcoin to help you navigate Bitcoin and purchasing it and how much. They're going to help you with all those questions. You need to be responsible for what you have and you need to be prepared. So another very practical thing, if I might throw this out, a lot of people are doing paying it forward for bills. And so we don't know when the screws are going to be tightened. So if you have the money now and you can afford to do it, pay your utility bills 6 months in advance. Have your mortgage payments made 6 months in advance, as much as you can, car payments, whatever. If you have the money, make it months in advance. I know some people who've paid their utilities and their insurance a year in advance. That way, regardless of what happens, it's already paid off. So you don't have to worry about navigating, where do I get my money? I can't access my bank account. There are lots of practical things you could do. But at the end of the day, you are responsible to steward all that you have before the Lord. You need to take that seriously. And you cannot be those lazy, sucking off the government teat kind of Canadians who just assume they'll take care of me. They're not your dad. They're not your God. You take care of yourself. You and your family will be better for it. And any questions you have, we can help at least direct you in the right place.
Yeah. And with great freedom comes great responsibility. We see in the Exodus account in scripture, when God frees the Israelites out of the land of their bondage, out of the land of slavery, what do we see? immediately, a good portion of them whine and complain.
Oh,
because
the meat pots in Egypt.
Yes, exactly. The leeks and the garlics, you know. We had it much more comfortable and easy, even under the tyrannical control of the Egyptians and slave labor, than the responsibility that is placed on us as individuals living freely under God. But freedom
is always better.
Freedom, yeah. and that is always the thrust of sacred scripture, is it's always moving from slavery and bondage, and even the ease and comfort that would come to that, from mm-hmm. that to freedom and responsibility that leads mm-hmm. ultimately to flourishing and a life more abundantly. That's always the testimony of scripture, and that's ultimately finally and fully fulfilled
in
Christ.
And North America and Western civilization does not exist because mm-hmm. people said slavery, independence, and risk averse.
Yeah.
And that's not why we're here.
Yeah.
We're here, advancements in technology, medicine, mm-hmm. Industry, science, all of the growth and the explosion and the blessings we've seen in the West are because people said, no, I'm going to be responsible, but I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be dependent. It involves risk, but I'll be responsible. I will take initiative.
I will
maybe step into an unknown place, and I'll trust that the Lord has made the world work a certain way, that when I am responsible and I steward what I have, and even if it's risky, that the payoff and the reward of being a free man mm-hmm. is better than being a dependent slave. And what's true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world, that mm-hmm. the way forward for Canada has to be ultimately mm-hmm. people who respond to the gospel in faith mm-hmm. that they might be freed in Christ. That's the way forward for our country. The way forward for our country is not a new political party, mm-hmm. new laws, and new media. Those things are all good, but that's really not the way forward in Canada. The way forward in Canada primarily is calling people to turn from slavery to sin to be freed mm-hmm. in Christ.
Yeah.
That is the only hope for our country.
And
be responsible.
And a free people, zealous for their freedoms, especially their Christian liberties, are impossible people to enslave.
Right.
That's the reality of the situation. If you want more freedom, turn to the ultimate font of freedom, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.